Tired of the hassle and risks of manual fruit cutting? Let me introduce our partners over at Supercut System, the automated solution that enhances safety, quality, and efficiency. Cut up to 120 perfect citrus wedges per minute, 6 times faster than manual. Patented technology delivers consistent slices, reducing waste and eliminating plastic. The contactless hygienic design lowers contamination risk and workplace injuries. Supercut integrates seamlessly for any volume, improve profitability and customer experience. Experience the power of automation with Supercut. Get started today at supercut.com and be sure to ask about their risk-free trials.
Elevate your dining experience with Rack Porcelain USA. As the exclusive tableware brand for the Walk and Talk podcast, Rack combines exceptional craftsmanship with innovative design. Whether you're a chef, a restaurant owner, or a food enthusiast, Rack's high-quality porcelain products will enhance every meal. Discover the artistry of food presentation and make every dining occasion special. Visit RackPorcelain.com today and see how Rack can transform your table. Chefs and food buyers, let me tell you about a product that will generate new excitement on your menu. Fully cooked, pasture-raised, all-natural Australian lamb from Aussie Select. Their award-winning, handcrafted, innovative products are blended with the finest spices and amazing flavors. Options include agave rosemary, tikka masala, lamb pastrami, and lamb prime rib roast. Available sliced or whole with a long shelf life too. Find out more at AussieSelect.com.
Tired of the hassle and risks of manual fruit cutting? Let me introduce our partners over at Supercut System, the automated solution that enhances safety, quality, and efficiency. Cut up to 120 perfect citrus wedges per minute, 6 times faster than manual. Patented technology delivers consistent slices, reducing waste and eliminating plastic. The contactless hygienic design lowers contamination risk and workplace injuries. Supercut integrates seamlessly for any volume. Improve profitability and customer experience. Experience the power of automation with Supercut. Get started today at supercut.com and be sure to ask about their risk-free trials. Oh, yeah. Hello, food fam. This is the Walk and Talk podcast where you will find the perfect blend of food, fun, and cooking knowledge. I'm your host, Carl Fiadini. Welcome to the number one food podcast in the country. We're recording on site at Ibis Images Studios, where food photography comes alive and I get to eat it. Get ready for an exciting episode. This week, we have my friend, the incredible chef, Mario Brugnoli. He's joining us here. Wow. He made it happen today, John. The food. Out of this world. He's a proud St. Pete local. Mario recently made waves on the Food Network's Chopped. That was back in May. And we're diving deep into how that experience has helped to transform his culinary journey. On top of that, he's not just juggling pots and pans. He's also embracing fatherhood. With the recent arrival of his beautiful baby boy, man, I'm talking about like multitasking. Yeah, big time. Big congratulations to Mario and his wife, Ashley. With a brand new restaurant, a growing family, and a national spotlight on his culinary talent, it's a whirlwind of excitement and challenges. How does he keep it all together? Man, I don't know. We're going to find out. Eager to find out how Mario is handling this dynamic mix. Stay tuned. Chef Mario is on deck. The food, I'm going to say it again, insane. Wait till you see the pictures. They're all bangers. All of them. Chefs, we've been using Metro Hotboxes, shelving, and even their mobile prep cart around the studio, and couldn't be happier. If you're planning on reorganizing your kitchen life, be sure to contact our friends at Metro, your partner in organization and efficiency. You know, John, a lot of people really don't know what it is to do these monologues, right? I mean, yeah, sure, this was take two, but it was a home run take two. You know, this is not an easy life. Content creation is not an easy life. Let's welcome Chef Mario to the program.
Thank you for having me.
Man, it is my pleasure. In fact, it was more my pleasure because if there were home runs to be hit today, you did them.
Thank you.
Yes. Let's talk about some of these dishes. Before we jump into anything, what did you do here today?
Yeah, so I have three dishes I did. I did my souffle pancake. So it's a play on an apple pie pancake. a souffle batter that I put caramel apple, salted pretzel, cinnamon, tahini, whipped cream, and spearmint on top. And then something very close to me, it was my grandpa Larry's Benedict. It's a little play on a Benedict without hollandaise. So a lot of people hate me for it, but garlic bread, garlic butter, two poached eggs, very, very runny yolks, 24-hour ragu, fresh basil off of a plant. All my herbs come from plants, and a fresh Parmesan on top. Aussie Select, it's a lamb loin that's already been cured, fully cooked. And I just took that and made a cooked carpaccio out of it. So not raw. A bunch of herbs on top, pickled onions, house-made yogurt, turmeric fried chickpeas, and nice little salt, lemon. Very, very acidic, nice, fresh.
So normally there's a dish that I'm like, meh. Today they were all bangers.
Awesome.
Each and every one. Yeah, no, they were. Listen, Grandpa Larry, I'm going to probably have to go with that being my number one.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, you know, obviously we're both of Italian heritage. And,
exactly.
And that reminded me of where I come from. So yeah. You did a super job on that. And,
Thank you.
So let's talk about that real quick, too, because that recipe goes back to the 40s.
Yeah, so being past four generations, that was my great-grandpa. Grandpa Larry, so started before, I'm pretty sure his mother, my great-great-grandma, either his mother or somebody along that line, it started in 1940, and the earliest paper I have says 1960 on it. It's his sausage recipe, and he made sausage, meatballs, and then also a sauce. So all three components bring alive Grandpa Larry's Benedict.
Who's going to complain about that?
Nobody. I'm sure somebody will. Somebody out there is, you don't have hollandaise on a Benedict. I want hollandaise. So.
No, but, this is a different sort of a thing.
Yeah.
This is a different sort of a deal.
Exactly.
It's not traditional. And the reality is I would eat that every day.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you can eat it every day. Garlic bread, it's sort of a play on breakfast, but also an entree, a lunch, very light bread, red sauce, throw in a poached egg on top.
And about the poached egg, right? So we do content creation here, right? We do the podcast. We also do food photography and video. So while Chef is creating all of these dishes, when it comes down to Grandpa Larry's dish, you know, we do all the things that we have to do, the video, the photography, and that dish is waiting to be had by me and John too. So that we're waiting to eat this dish. Finally, we get to it. It had to be like 30, 40 minutes later. You said, Chef, nah. Oh, the yolk's got to be dried out. When I cut into that poached egg, it was beautiful. It was the most beautiful sight to see.
Still runny, still yolky.
Yeah, man. I really enjoyed the hell out of that.
Oh, yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah. Good job, man. Your restaurant's what, 6 months old now?
Yeah. So we've been open about 8 months, but we're only open 12 days a month. So my little joke is every 2 months, we're open 24 days. So realistically, in the real world, 2 months is only 1 month. So after 1 year, we're only going to be open for 6 months.
Look, I'm not in the mood for like math. Okay. Like everybody just shut the radio off. Like, you know what? We're done here.
So let's say 8 months. Yeah.
All right. So we'll say 8 months. Eat, art, love. Where'd the name come from?
So it's actually my investor, Jose's kind of brainchild. Those were the two things that he had. He had a lease and he had an idea for a name called Eat, Art, Love, where he wanted to showcase local artists.
So this is interesting to me. Years ago, and John too, actually, not that we're artists. We can't say that anymore, huh? No. We were at one time, you could say, because we were very much into doing that. You know, I was into charcoals and pastels and stuff, and John was just a badass too with everything he was doing.
Right.
So when you told me that you actually picked the art.
Yeah, exactly. So
it's hanging up in the dining room and everything.
Yeah. So it's me and my general manager, I call it like a two-person show. She's pretty much a jack of all trades. She has to serve. She has to do everything. And then me on the other end, I market. I sit down with the artist. They show me their art. I make sure I choose their profiles. I make sure it's something that's going to, number one, you have to be local. You can't be too massive. You have to be somebody that just wants a platform and wants an opportunity. So I look for people like that to bring in and not, we don't charge them to be on the wall. Their art gets hung up. And if by chance somebody buys a piece, then we take a small percentage, but it's a platform for 60 days for them to sit there and have a free platform to hang their art and show their words and show their history and their art through their pieces.
Has there been a pretty good flow? Are people purchasing?
Yeah. So we haven't sold any pieces yet because I feel like it's the aspect of breakfast and you're not really wanting to cap like, let me take that home. But on Art Walk, every second Saturday of every month, there's Art Walk. So I open up for nighttime and we showcase those pieces. So those pieces, people come in and I have small bites, wine, and it's all about the art instead of more about food on a Sunday brunch. These days really show the artist, and I even do meet the artist where the artist will be on site and we actually do small bites, wine, and that person can talk and can bring in their own guests, and it's a pop-up for the artist.
I think that's spectacular. I wish there was something like that, you know, 30 years ago. The chef's life, it's a rough life.
Oh, yeah.
Arduous. You seem to have found a balance.
Yeah.
New baby, new restaurant. You were supposed to come on this show, I don't know, about 4 months ago.
Yeah, three, four months ago, exactly.
Yeah. You were on Chopped. How are you balancing all of this?
Yeah, so it's a balancing act, obviously. What I would say is I slowed down and I really look at my dreams. My dream was to have a baby. Ever since I was 9 years old, my mom and dad came down with cancer when I was 10 and passed away when I was 16. So 16 years old, so these are all dreams of mine. I wanted to have a kid because my parents were old. They were 72 and 60 when they passed away. So, you know what I mean? Very old parents that couldn't do things with me. So my first dream was to have a baby when I was young. So I got into a position in my life, worked hard enough. So by 29 years old, I owned my own restaurant and had my own baby. So at that same time now, I'm not working. I'm not living a life that is somebody else's dream, or I'm just chasing it. It's something. So the hard days, that's what gets me through it. Having a baby, having a wife, having the big dream, and sitting there in the middle of your dream and saying, this is my dream. Like, you can't get upset at your dream if it's really your dream. So waking up early, him screaming at me, changing the diapers, having guests come in, coming on shows like this, going on Chopped, all those little things. At the end of the day, it's very hard. It's a balancing act. But I look myself in the mirror daily and I really tell myself, dude, this is your dream. Get out of it. Get past it. Just work harder for it.
How long were you out of town or away from the family when you went on Chopped?
So I was only gone for 1 week, but it was the week before Christmas. And my wife was 7 months pregnant. So, and the restaurant was, I just got the keys to the door. My investor, me and him sat down, gave me full-fledged reins of everything. And I told him if the restaurant, by chance, if we were going to open, I was going to be gone for Chopped. So went up to Chopped for that week, came back, took Christmas, took New Year's, and then we opened the restaurant 30 days later.
Have you been away from the family since the baby's born?
No, I have not, luckily. So that was, again, leading back to that dream. It was my dream to, when I had a baby, be home with him. So I'm home 4 days, Monday through Thursday. I watch him. I take care of him from morning to night. And the only 3 days I don't have with him are the days that my restaurant's open, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. But that was important to spend every day, at least half of the day, majority of the day with him.
Chefs and food buyers, let me tell you about a product that will generate new excitement on your menu. Fully cooked, pasture-raised, all-natural Australian lamb from Aussie Select. Their award-winning, handcrafted, innovative products are blended with the finest spices and amazing flavors. Options include agave rosemary, tikka masala, lamb pastrami, and lamb prime rib roast. Available sliced or whole with a long shelf life too. Find out more at AussieSelect.com. It's a hard thing, man. When I first moved up to Tampa from Miami, I had a one-year-old. She was my daughter.
Wow.
And I was away from them. I guess she was like 7 or 8 months old. I moved up to Tampa without them. And it took them about 3 months to get up here. It was brutal.
Oh, yeah.
The guilt. I had so much. I had terrible guilt. Yeah.
Yeah.
But, it's a necessary thing. You sometimes you got to uproot and move on and deal with those sort of decisions.
Exactly. And I'm sure down the road we're in busy season right now. It's December. I'm already having to miss some days with them and miss mornings turn into nights. So it's already, I'm sure down the road as the restaurant gets busier before I can let somebody else take control of it, there are going to be mornings, nights that I will miss school, some events, but I've gotten to a point in my life to where that's the dream. You know what I mean? I'm living how I want to live.
Does your son have any influence on your menu?
Oh yeah, for sure. So everything comes from family. So my scrambled eggs on the menu, they're soft scrambled eggs that I mount with cream cheese at the end. That's my father's recipe. My grandpa Larry's Benedict. So I kind of try to have a little bit of everything on the menu leading to him. So he's the fourth generation, fifth generation in some senses. So the ideas and inspirations come from, I like to say, this is the first time in my life that I'm cooking real food that I want to cook. before working at restaurants, you just cook what they want, and it's a career for you. You're cooking, you're working. But now I taste things. I'm like, ooh, how does that taste? How I make him his own baby foods. So just putting stuff in that and just really tasting food and just really seeing, like, I made a squash puree the other night. And I was like, oh, that would be amazing if I could use this for him, but also use it at the restaurant. So it's kind of like I found a balance of how much I love to really eat because I'm actually tasting the food and doing it for me and doing it for him instead of just doing it on a line or at a fast-paced restaurant or doing it for somebody else.
And you're seeing that your guests are embracing this.
Oh, yeah. They love it. They love the number one, when you cook from the heart, when you're cooking with a story, it tastes better. Number two, they love the baby aspect of things. A lot of guests, my wife will be in there on Saturdays and Sundays. I get to walk baby Roman up to them, and I call him my little mini sous chef, and everybody goes crazy over it. He's everything I do. He's right with me. Everybody says he's my little buddy.
So you have a son. He's in the restaurant. You're looking at him. You're on the line. Maybe he's with your wife. Do you want your child to stay in this sort of industry? Is the food industry something that you want to continue on in your lineage?
Yeah, I mean, so I wouldn't be against it. My number one aspect would say no, just because of the simple fact my entire heritage was always restaurant forward and people trying to obtain this goal of a restaurant, or like I said, my grandparents' side, my father's side, everybody has a restaurant side of it. But me doing this, if I would have to start over again, I love it. I love what I do. I wouldn't change it for the world, but I see the other side of it. And my wife has a degree and she went to UF. She has a college degree. I see the life she lives and how I don't want to say easy, but just how that's the life I would have loved to live. If I blinked and I could be a genie and go back, you know, just you get a degree, you work your butt off in school. You go to a 9-to-5, it's a lot easier. Like, that's what I want Roman to have. Now if he has the blood like me and he really wants to, dude, I want a business. I want that. My head's on a swivel at all times. I'm always trying to do something. If he has that business aspect, I would love him to get into the restaurant industry. It's an industry that I would love people to get into. But I would love if I would have went back and had a degree and followed the path that my parents wanted me to and kind of the path I want Roman to follow. I want him to go to school, get that degree, and really find a hobby that he can feel proud of and he can be a lot safer in and a lot more coddled, if that's the word I'm looking for.
I'm conflicted on this. My father was an entrepreneur, and I always assumed that I would take up on one of his businesses.
Yeah.
And that never happened. And I didn't go to school. And I didn't have anything to fall back on other than my personality.
Yeah.
And that's how I got into, you know, I ended up getting into the sales industry, sales business for food. And it afforded me a good life. And it led up to this place where we are now. I hate to just say content creation because it really dilutes it.
Yeah, no, it's a lot more than that.
In 2024, yeah, I'm a content creator. It really dilutes what it is that we do here. But this is the path, and this is where we are. And I really love it.
Yeah.
My kids, I would really want them to go to school and learn something, even if it was a vocational school, like learn a trade. Like if my son wanted to be an electrician or a plumber, that's awesome. Yeah. You know, he's going to own your own business, own it. Don't just work for somebody else.
Exactly.
But learn that trade. So I'm a little conflicted on that one.
Yeah, exactly. My big thing is I want him to see my life, see my wife's life, and kind of choose what he wants. And if he wants to be like me and if he wants to get burned and be out there all day, and I love it. Like I said, when I wake up in the morning and the drive, the craziness, the chop, the baby, the restaurant, the this, the that, the meetings, the podcast, all these things, that's what I live for. Like if I had a 9-to-5, I would be going crazy. So I hope he can see, like, all right, that's how my dad was. I'm there with him every day. Dude, I hate this, but that's how my mom is. She gets to be home every day at 5. Hell yeah. Like, that's what I want. I want to fly around the world and have my 9-to-5, take my vacations, take my sick time. I don't want to be like that. But if he loves that and he's like, I'm hungry for this, I'll show him the way.
So you get the call from Chopped. You also got this lease for the restaurant.
Right.
Now you're at Chopped and you have this restaurant and you have to compete. What are you thinking about?
I'm thinking about, number one, how much Chopped will help me in my career in this place that I'm about to open up. And everything's kind of this path it's December. My baby's going to be born in 4 months. My restaurant's going to open in 2 months. And Chopped is probably going to come out in 6 months. So within the next 6 months of my life, this is where my dream is leading up to. This is where the goals are. This is what working in the industry my entire life. At this point, I've worked 12 years in the industry. Pretty much this is the pyramid of my triangle. This is everything that I've needed and wanted to go, and where my next goal is going to be, where the next 10 to 15 years of my life going to look after Chopped, after my baby's born, and after the lights go on, and I kind of make my grand entrance, if you will, in the culinary industry.
You did not go to culinary school.
No.
And you started where?
I started with Michael Mina at the Sundial in downtown St. Pete at Locale Market and Farm Table Cucina.
Which is where we met.
Yep, exactly. Mm-hmm. You were a food rep, I'm pretty sure, for Mr. Green's at that time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Small world. Everybody I met, my entire staff is from Farm Table.
Yeah, so when that went down, oh, by the way, you were naming some Matt and the gang over there. Hi, gang. You know what I mean? I haven't seen those people in a long time.
Since probably, yeah, I was 18.
Yeah. When I first moved up here, I was tasked with opening the Central Florida OPCO for that produce company. There were three of us that opened this place. I was responsible for sales. The one guy was responsible for accounting, and the other one was a warehouse, individual. And we had to build it from zero. Farm to table was probably, I don't know, had to be maybe in the first handful of clients.
Well,
up here.
I didn't realize they were that small at that point.
There was nothing. I was driving at 3 a.m. to the produce market to pick up shorts. You know, if we didn't get a load from Miami, I had to go to the market to pick it up. It was literally an 18-hour days for 11 months for me. Yeah, it was crazy. But it was a great experience. As rough as that was a rough, you know, I look back and I'm like, man, I don't know how I did that. Like, how did I not jump off a bridge or something? You drag yourself through the mud. You get some experience. And then you pick yourself up and you're like, man, I can do damn anything.
Zach, I was just going to say that's probably what made that year go by so fast. And that's what made you the pioneer in the industry now. You know, you're just a year's going by and you're just so much is getting thrown at you. It's like you're like a sports player. You know what I mean? Anything can get thrown at you. You're going to whack it out of the park.
So farm to table. You're there. Michael Mina. It's a big deal.
Yeah.
James Kirby. He's like his background was incredible.
Yeah, he was actually my third executive chef there. So we went through plenty of executive chefs. And then Michael Mina was the celebrity chef along with Don Pintabono.
You learned a lot at that place.
Yeah, I was 18 and I was there for 4.5 years. I started in the little market downstairs, did all five locations, little five stations. There's a dry age location, fish, and all their corporate chefs and along with Michael Mina came down and they would see my passion, they would see my drive, and they would just really put me through the ringer. And I call that like my culinary school. So for 4 years, downstairs, two of them, they put me through everything, taught me dressings, taught me how to dry age, taught me this, taught me that, and made me a little lead, started to teach me my management side of things, started to have me do some orders. And then all of a sudden one day they sat me down and were like, we're going to bring you up to Farm Table Cucina. And it had just been rebranded and it was Italian food. So it was my dream, my dream of getting out of the quicker, fast, casual food and get into this higher end world. My first cooking job was PDQ. So I was burning tenders. I was doing both jobs simultaneously. So finally I get to go upstairs and I was this real fine dining world. There's lines, there's chef de parties, there's sous chefs, exec sous chefs. Michael Mina's coming in, all his corporate chefs now see that I'm upstairs in this. Oh, you're with the big boys now, you're not downstairs. Let's see what you got. So I was up there for another 2 years and made it all the way to a lead line cook until I put in my notice and I went to open up Roca.
Which is another heavy hitter.
It was my second restaurant I had ever worked in. And yeah, of course, 2 years after I was there for 4 years, I became a second sous chef. I started as just a line cook, same thing. They put me through the ringer, ran me through every station, taught me how to butcher fish, taught me how to butcher ducks, taught me everything at that restaurant, I would say.
They do it so well. I've dealt with, I don't know, countless restaurants and chefs and whatever. And everybody has a standard, man. You know, most everybody cares a lot. Roca is probably one of the strictest establishments that I've ever worked with.
Yeah, for sure.
And you know, you could, from a sales perspective, you can, you know, man, you know, hard to please, but the respect for what they do is just, it doesn't end.
Yeah.
Respect, I mean, it just goes on and on. They do such a terrific job over there.
And from the top down, like you just said, the produce every day I would order. And if my tomatoes came in a little black, a little specked, a little underripe, I was on the phone with my rep calling them and they were 20, 30, 40 minutes later coming back out.
It's funny because it was Bryce and Nick. And before the place even opened, we were sitting down for probably 2 months putting the menu together. It was pretty amazing. the things that they were looking to do and the sort of products that they wanted at that time. You know, Tampa is not a, you wouldn't say Tampa is some culinary mecca. It's not.
Especially at that time.
Especially at that time. It's getting there. You know, we're starting to get some serious players here. And I attribute what's happening now, culinarily speaking, you can look their way to say that they helped usher in some talent.
Yeah. That was the whole dream behind it. They came from Blanca. Chef Bryce came from Blanca and Nick came from Kima and also Liberty Den. So these guys came down here and that's literally what they told us. It was no joke. It was this kitchen will run like a Michelin star Italian kitchen from New York. And that's what it's going to be. And this was when I was there and they said that Michelin wasn't even thought about in Florida. It was always a joke. Like you go to New York, California, Chicago, those are the places you win stars, not in Florida. And then I'm there 2 years later, I leave and I hear stars are coming to Florida. And of course they're one of the first three restaurants in Florida to win a Michelin star. And on top of that, I believe Bryce said it was 22 restaurants in the United States that are Italian that have won a Michelin star. So it's only, I worked at one of 22 restaurants in the US that have won a Michelin star.
Yeah. You would have, I think that location would have been up for it sooner had Florida been on the map.
Oh
sooner.
Yeah. From day one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They've really paved the way. Your restaurant is small enough to where if you put into it, you never know.
Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, as I understand it, you know, with the whole Michelin thing, if they're aware of you, there's a chance.
Oh yeah. Pretty much that's the thing about Michelin. Chefs and people can put Michelin on the map in that area. One person can get Michelin to come to that area. And it's also a lot bigger than that. Like the city has to want Michelin there. And it's this big game that Michelin plays to get into to cities and states, you know. But yeah, if the culinary scene is hungry and Michelin wants to come there and they look at one person, they'll come there for you.
It's a different vibe, man. John and I were out in Orlando and we did a photo shoot at Camille.
Oh yeah, Chef Tong. He's awesome.
Wow. I mean, you know, when you see their method, how they come up with their dishes, how they plate their dishes, how clean their restaurants are. And the processes that go into them being a Michelin establishment, it's mind blowing.
Oh yeah, exactly. It's a whole work of art. It's not just putting food on a plate, which that's what food is. Now you're taking up a whole nother level of products that are the rarest products in the world that you have to treat right. You only have hours to maintain and treat that product the right way. And also putting it on a plate in a clean environment, in a surgically clean environment. And that's, you know what I mean? It's the same food, but you're elevating it way stretched out and you're just putting a lot more effort and a lot more technique and a lot more talent and a lot more of your day into it.
Elevate your dining experience with Rack Porcelain USA. As the exclusive tableware brand for the Walk and Talk podcast, Rack combines exceptional craftsmanship with innovative design. Whether you're a chef, a restaurant owner, or a food enthusiast, Rack's high-quality porcelain products will enhance every meal. Discover the artistry of food presentation and make every dining occasion special. Visit rackporcelain.com today and see how Rack can transform your table.
I was looking at a social media post. And the post had a chef. It was a photo of a chef plating what seemed to be a very elevated dish. And there was probably 3,000, you know, comments and all this stuff on that post. And the vast majority of them are talking about how who wants to pay all that money to not even get full, or, you know, who cares? I don't want three peas on a plate. And I made my comment, which, because I respect the hell out of culinary, like a real culinarian.
Right.
Because it's not just trough feeding, which is what I mentioned. I was like, listen, this isn't trough feeding. You know, this is something where there's going to be multiple courses. You're going to leave full. You're going to leave that restaurant full. Right. If you go there just to have the one dish, because that's all you can do, okay, you're not going to be full and you're going to hit Mickey D's on the way home. I get it. But if you go for the real experience of it, you're going to have four or five courses, the dessert, the whole night, the whole experience. Right. And you're going to leave full with a smile.
Exactly.
So that was my kind of commentary. I had to say something. It's like, you know, what are you guys thinking about?
Yeah. And you're going to have a balance too. Like I don't, coming from the fine dining world, that's not all I eat. You know what I mean? But I'll go to Chicago and I'll eat a hot dog on the side of the road. I'll get a deep dish pizza and then I'll go to Alinea. Like the people who just want to go to Alinea, that they're going to look at it that way. Oh, why am I here? Why am I spending $1,000? It's like, go to Chicago, do one or two nights at those restaurants, eat on the side of the road, eat some nachos at the zoo. You know what I mean? You have to go to these cities and find all the culinary hubs. It's not just fine dining.
You can have sloppy joes and french fries at home.
Exactly.
Is my point.
Right.
You could do that at home. Exactly. You don't have to like go out to eat. By the way, I love sloppy joes. I'm just saying.
Manwich, exactly.
Yeah, man. I'm all about it. So you were talking about community earlier.
Right.
Your restaurant is special because you're bringing art into it. Food is art. Exactly. Culinary is art. But now you're bringing actual classified art into this whole realm. And I feel like that is special.
And it ties in with love.
Uh-huh. Absolutely. Your community in St. Pete, which I think you're in the perfect area to do this. You picked the right spot.
Right.
Because I think the neighborhoods will embrace.
Yeah, and we're right in the Warehouse Arts District too, which helps.
But what are you doing to actually get out there?
So it's all these just little tiny relationships. So I've always started, like I said, this is my dream. So it's, and my dream wasn't to be a cook or a chef. My dream was to have a business, a platform that I can do all the little things that I wanted to do. And I watched my mom do as a little kid. So I just started making these relations. And first, like I said, we've been open 8 months. I reached out to a business. My mother-in-law actually runs, it's called, I shouldn't say a business, they're a shelter. It's called CASA. So it's a woman, a domestic violence shelter. So woman, man. And as a kid, my mom used to go to Publix and she would have this Christmas tree and she would reach up, she would grab scrolls off of the Christmas tree and each scroll said a kid's name on it. And it said 3 or 4 gifts that kid wished for. It wasn't just socks. It wasn't just toilet paper, things that they could generically get at these shelters. It was something that the kid specifically asked for. So I did that exact same thing and I partnered with CASA to do their holiday for the Hope for the Holidays. And I did 9 families, 22 kids this year. I just dropped it off this last week. So it's just little tiny things like that, like really reaching out to the things that mean a lot to me and showing the community that I want to be the chef that does that. Feeding kids, giving away free things, the holidays for the Hope. Again, that those are the dreams. Why I became a chef was to have that platform. And it's just really reaching out to all kinds of platforms, all kinds of businesses, all kinds of people that will, anybody that will listen. I'm going and I'm trying to talk to them, see how I can benefit, how they can benefit. How we can all just use a chef that I know that goes to a farm that helps the farmer plant some stuff. And those, now that stuff goes back there and the farmer might not be able to use the tops, but he's pickling stuff and he's giving that away for free. And it's just a small community and knowing what other people need and just really listening and just really seeing what your community needs, not just falling in line and, oh, I need to make a lot of money. I need to do this. It's really looking at your community and putting yourself behind and seeing what other people need.
There's plenty of farms out there too, like urban style farms in St. Pete.
Right.
You're friendly with some, right?
Yeah, I just met, it's called 15 Street Farms. The guy's name is Emmanuel and Tony. Tony's a chef and Emmanuel runs the place. But it's a nonprofit, little tiny farm. It's pretty much a guy's house that everything's nonprofit and they're just giving back. They're having chefs come do chef dinners that they pay the chef to be there, pay for all the food. And they just want to create a community. They're having days where all farmers from Tampa, St. Pete, Brandon, Bradenton just come and meet and hang out and drink some champagne and eat some pickles and just literally hang out and talk.
Champagne and pickles, it sounds crazy, but that's where I want to do that right now.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? I need that in my life. I do. So we're going to go, right?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Next week, whenever you're ready, I'll make that connection and get the ball rolling.
Folks out there, Mario and I were talking about this the other day on a call and we're going to go and we're going to do some introductions. And because I feel like what we do at Walk and Talk would fit perfectly kind of into the space that they have.
Oh yeah. You're at a line. Perfect.
Yeah. And then we were talking about doing some, farm to table dinners as well. I'd love to have you involved in that.
Yeah. Yeah.
The energy factor is tremendous.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Anytime I get to go do anything for a charity, for a platform where I always tell people my time is the most important part. So I'm not donating a lot of things I'm not doing, but I'll give you my time. If you want me to help you cook something for free, if you want me to help you do an event where you're making money, where a charity is making money, I plan on next year cooking for the Ronald McDonald House all for free on Christmas Eve. just like my big thing is doing something that it shows somebody is important. So not just donating $100, going out and I want to be there on Christmas Eve and I want to cook for kids on Christmas Eve. Where could I be? I could be with Rome and I could be with my wife on Christmas Eve, but I would rather go out there and cook for, to me, that's big. It's my time, my day that I went, the things about it, not just giving money, not just writing a check, not just getting a bunch of gifts that somebody donated and sending it. It's me taking the gifts there, dropping the gifts off, coming up with the platform, coming up with the idea.
Where does that conviction come from?
It comes from being a child and watching my mom. My mom was huge on that. Everything my mom did was for other people. Every single thing. My mom, not to go down this long rabbit hole, but she owned a commercial cleaning business and she had 41 employees. Long story short, she lost this business and because of her partner screwed her over on money. And my mom drained her entire bank account, $40,000, to pay all of her employees. And I'll never forget my dad yelling at her, telling her she was stupid, but she did it and she told herself, "I'll be good. These people are going to lose their homes. They have kids. They're all going to lose everything. I'll be good for 3 to 6 months and I'll bounce back on my feet." And she got cancer a year later and 2 years later she died. So it was one of those things now, like, I'm never going to do that. I'm not going to be dumb enough to drain my whole bank account. But at the same time, you have to set yourself up in your life to be there for other people. So ultimately, my mom could have been there years and, you know what I mean, for people and done it the right way, but not drained her bank account. So again, just like Roman, I learned from my mom. I learned from my dad. I learned the good she did, the bad she did. And again, it's all about that platform and just being able to do what I can do and being here to do what I can do and being healthy enough and being listening. What you tell me you need, I'm gonna try to give you that. I'm gonna try to fix that. And I'm gonna try to give you a platform and give you an opportunity to obtain that.
You're very introspective, huh? You're putting yourself in a situation where you critique yourself.
Oh, all the time. And I'm 5 steps ahead of myself. And it pisses me off a lot of times because when everything's not perfect and the world's not perfect, nothing's perfect, you know, or you can never get there. So it's always something you're reaching towards, is that carrot that's always moving. It's always the goal that's never obtainable.
But it puts you ahead of everybody else.
Exactly. You're always hungry.
So with that said, what advice would you give to aspiring chefs who want to get on Chopped, who want to own their own restaurant, to go down the path that you're on?
Do it the right way. Don't rush it. When I was 18, I wanted to own my own restaurant. I wanted to be on TV. I wanted to make all my dreams true. And it happened at 30. So my big advice is do it the right way. Put the work down. And at the end of the day, look yourself in the mirror. And when you know you're a good enough cook, you're a good enough person, a good enough business owner, do it. Don't just jump because you're hungry, because somebody pissed you off, because somebody... Your day was long. You worked 12 hours and you made $8 an hour, $9 an hour. Do it when you're right, when you're ready, when your life aligns.
So are you a pull yourself up by the bootstraps type of chef?
I would say yes and no. I'm very, everything has to be in a line. Everything has to be in a row. I have to be perfectly set up. They call it mise en place in our world. Everything has to be. I'm not very quick on my feet when it comes to issues and things like that. I love being set up. I love knowing what I'm doing. I love thinking about it 3-4 days in advance and just priding myself on what I do is going to be the best because I've done it to the best of my ability and I've thought about it.
So with that said, I mean, you came here today. We, you know, you cooked and you cooked for the purpose of food photography. We did the video and now a podcast. Were you freaked out?
Oh yeah, a little bit. Definitely. Like I get in my head about anything. It doesn't matter if I'm pressure washing my house, anything. I'm overthinking it. Or when I get there, how's the kitchen going to be? Do I have to bring my own pans? Did I forget something? I'm always just overthinking it from small to big. I overthink anything.
Well, you did great today.
Thank you.
Yeah. And then we had a couple, I wouldn't say hurdles. We had a couple of little like hiccups or whatever.
Yeah, making my pancake in a cast iron, but
yeah,
but that's what the culinary industry is about, you know?
Are you going to hold that against me?
No.
All right. Because she's like, hey, do I have to bring any pans or anything like that? I said, nah, we got everything you need. Don't worry about it. Come on. Come here. Get out of here. You know, it was like that. Wow. That pancake was special. Mario, what's the next step for you? What do you got coming up?
So next step is just honing in this restaurant. Like I said, we've only been open 8 months, which translates into those 4 months, like I was saying, 4 to 6 months. Really honing in and focusing, doing everything the right way. Uplifting my staff, making sure my staff has a brighter future. Most of my staff right now is, I only have 2 of them and they're both part-time. So big goal is making both of them part-time. I just opened up Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So now we're open 5 days a week. I just brought on a coffee shop. So we're partnering with Sage's Playground. Really good buddy of mine. His name's Roy. He's going to come on and do a little coffee shop in the front. And my 30-seater breakfast cafe will still be in the back 5 days a week. Getting my staff full-time, like I said, and just really making sure this first year is good. We just hit 100 reviews and we have 5 stars. So I stride and pride myself on having 5 stars on all platforms. Every day we talk, we manage, we get better. We don't even have a reservation platform right now. So we're looking at getting a resi. We're looking at getting online orderings. We just got our website built, just painted the front of my cafe. So it's all these little tiny things. It's literally building every single day from the ground up and just seeing a year at a time. So 2025 is opening up 5 days a week, getting my staff full time, going harder on art, more art in there. And on the left side of my cafe is going to be more fast casual. So Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, you'll come in. And I love the guys at Supernatural here in Tampa or over in Tampa. So I'm trying to model my place a lot more of their vibe and their feel. Throughout the week, work vibe, fast vibe. You come up, you get a bacon, egg, and cheese. You get a matcha latte, and you're on your way to work by 8:30. Also, you can come back at 2 and get something else to go for that lunch feel. And then Saturday and Sunday will always be our sit down brunch service, high end feel, served water service, alcohol services, mimosas, all that kind of stuff.
Special dishes too, or?
Yeah. So Wednesday, Thursday, Friday will be more salads, sandwiches. All my big Grand Polaris not going anywhere. My poached egg's not going anywhere. The pancake will only be the weekends. And the weekend menu will always be my higher end sit down, fine dining plates. And throughout the week will always be your crank, your grab and go. Very specialized. 8:15, I want my bacon, egg, and cheese and my latte. By 8:30, I need to get to work. So you swoop in. We're right downtown. You get your food. You're to work by 8:30. But then Saturday and Sunday, when you have time for reservations to drink 2-3 mimosas, maybe even a bottle of wine, you can do that.
Any more competitions on the horizon?
Yeah, so I have a couple things coming out in 2025 that I can't really mention, but definitely
very mysterious.
Yeah, it's all the NDAs and stuff that you know how it is. Even for Chopped, I couldn't tell anybody about it for 6-7 months. Even my own wife, I couldn't tell her, and she's like, "You're really not going to tell me if you won?" But yeah, it's one of those things. But yeah, I'm always pushing, and people are always reaching out to me trying to get me to do some things, but I always try to do things the right way, and I have a lot on my plate right now. So the next 3 months is just getting us through busy season and taking care of the tourists that are in Florida.
Well, that's admirable because, you know, wives have a way of getting the information out of you.
Yeah, exactly. I did not tell her up until the day it came out.
That's awesome. All right. How do people find you on the socials?
@eatourlove_St. Pete. And my personal is Mr. Brognoli 84, Mario Brognoli. We're in downtown St. Pete.
Spell it, baby.
@eatourlove, @eatourlove _St. Pete.
Excellent. Dude, I don't know about you, but I want you to come back.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Anytime.
Yeah.
Anytime.
The food was amazing. I think we should take a trip over to his restaurant. What do you think? You're shaking your head? John's shaking.
Awesome.
Yeah, John, he's confirming yes. All right. We're going to do that. Aussie Select. Wow. The pastrami lamb was terrific. Chef, good?
Oh, yeah, that dish came out really good with the asparagus and everything. Just, yeah, great product, juicy. From it being fresh or frozen, yeah, it was awesome.
I loved it. Can't wait to do some more of that stuff. All right, John, as always, man, I love your freaking photography. It's amazing. We are out. Let me tell you about my friends over at Citrus America and their amazing juicing equipment. They're revolutionizing the way you enjoy freshly squeezed juice. They're at the best hotels, restaurants, and markets. Their mission is simple. Develop a unique consumer experience with on-premise juicing, deliver healthy taste options to clientele, and juice more faster. It's that easy. Citrus America supplies the highest quality juicing equipment and solutions in the industry. So whether you're a small business owner or a large corporation, Citrus America has the right juicing equipment for you. Find out more at citrusamerica.com.
Get ready to innovate and organize your workspace with Metro. As the industry leader in storage and productivity solutions, Metro is here to transform and organize your kitchen. With their premium solutions, you'll experience the Metro difference. Metro's sturdy and versatile shelving units, workstations, holding cabinets, and utility carts are designed to streamline operations and maximize your productivity. Don't settle for imitators. Metro products last longer and offer unparalleled quality and durability. Plus, many customization options ensure that your workspace is tailored to your unique needs. Visit their website or contact them today to start designing your perfect space. Metro Shelving, your partner in organization and efficiency.
Let me tell you about my friends over at Citrus America and their amazing juicing equipment. They're revolutionizing the way you enjoy freshly squeezed juice. They're at the best hotels, restaurants, and markets. Their mission is simple. Develop a unique consumer experience with on-premise juicing, deliver healthy taste options to clientele, and juice more faster. It's that easy. Citrus America supplies the highest quality juicing equipment and solutions in the industry. So whether you're a small business owner or a large corporation, Citrus America has the right juicing equipment for you. Find out more at citrusamerica.com.